After years of saving and planning and dreaming, a local retired couple is finally heading to the Holy Land, Israel. Their journey comes at an extraordinary moment as the region steps into a fragile but hopeful season of peace following the newly reached agreement between Israel and Hamas. What began as a lifelong dream has become something deeper, a reminder that faith and timing often walk hand in hand. In today's episode, we'll reflect on their story, the meaning of pilgrimage, and how sometimes providence leads us exactly where we're meant to be. And we will be right back with their story as I interview them here in studio after this message from our sponsor. I stopped by EL Internet a couple days ago, and I visited with owner Eric Lederhaus, and he was right there in the parking lot talking to a couple of other people. He's very accessible, he's very likable, and he's very friendly, and he'll answer any questions you have if you can catch him, because yeah, he is busy, but he's often right there, along with the rest of his company, right here in Bonner's Ferry. He is so excited about the service that his company is providing the people of Boundary and North Bonner County. His company is growing, and so is his ability to meet the internet needs of North Idaho. And he has big plans in the months and years ahead. Thanks to his company, my internet speed is awesome, and I have not had a single glitch or hiccup. As I watched my favorite football team the other day, in a close and exciting game, I never worried about the signal failing or locking up. Unfortunately, my team did fail and locked up. But that's another story, and I don't really want to talk about that right now. If you have any speed or connectivity issues, call Chris or Caleb at 208-946-4147. Or you can visit their website at elinternetnw.com and learn more. And don't forget to tell them that Ted sent you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Almost Paradise in North Idaho. And my name is Ted Ludlum, and I am your guide today on this particular podcast. And we're about 30 miles from the Canadian border up here in beautiful Bonner's Ferry. And we have a couple of really interesting guests today. We have Chris and Larry Clark. And what's interesting about them is they are leaving for Israel next week, in just a few days. And what an exciting time to be going to Israel. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a lifetime resident of Boundary County. Bonner's Ferry, went through all of my education except for college at the University of Idaho here in Bonner's Ferry. And my family was very active in the community as in a lot of different ways. And I have never wanted to live anywhere else, even with all the places we visited and seeing Boundary County.
So you are a native. That's right. So that's good. So, Chris, tell us a little bit about you. Where'd you come from?
Well, I'm not a native, but I did graduate from the Bonner's Ferry High School.
Okay.
In 1969, after my parents moved to Bonner's Ferry, sight unseen, in 1966. So I would have been a sophomore in high school, and the move could have been traumatic, but it wasn't. It was totally awesome. I mean, we were small town people in a big city, and my folks pulled the pin and came to North Idaho.
So, Chris, where did you move from?
So from Long Beach, California, my folks were, as I said, a part of the first migration out of California. It followed the Watts riots in 1965, and father worked downtown L.A., went to work with a shotgun on the front seat for a month, and that was it. They decided they needed to get it.
Wow. So you came up to Bonner's Ferry, and everybody had a shotgun in their front seat.
In the back window.
In the back window. That's right. Yeah. So you were on Long Beach, California. So were you a surfer dude?
No, I was no surfer. I was just a nerd trying to make it through the big city and, you know, totally unknown. That's just...
So, Larry, you felt sorry for him and said he needs a friend.
He is my California.
Oh.
Boy.
He was the long-haired...
Yeah, curly. He looked like Art Garfunkel.
Art Garfunkel. I would have never guessed that.
The hair.
Yeah, the hair.
That I hair. Had hair.
That's where the comparison ends, yeah. Right there. Well, you guys have been involved in Bonner's Ferry for so many ways and so on. And you said your mother worked, and both of your parents worked at the Bonner's Ferry Herald.
Correct.
When you were in high school. Okay. And what did they do?
Well, my mom was a receptionist and editor, corrector of.
I'll bet she wrote the obituaries.
She might have.
Maybe. Well, often that's when.
We're fifth generation from up here. So, you know, she knew pretty much everybody and pretty much all the background because it's a small town. So that's how she got there. She had a lot of other jobs during her lifetime in Bonner's, but she really enjoyed the one that she had at the Herald office.
Okay. And your father?
My father was trained to run a machine that is now obsolete. After the war, they retrained the boys that were coming home from the war. He is a veteran, and he trained to operate a linotype machine. And that's a machine that, after most days, they printed the paper one line at print at a time. And his machine would actually set in metal a line of type. That's where we get the line of type machine.
Wow.
And so you would work laboriously late on Wednesday night so they could get the paper out on Thursday morning.
Sounds good. Now, why? I ask all my guests this, okay. How is Idaho almost paradise? Because my podcast is called Almost at Paradise in North Idaho. How is it almost paradise?
Well, for me, it's home. And it will always be home.
Always has been home.
Always has been home. Always will be. Any place we go. I am so glad to come back around that corner and see the valleys spread out there. And I feel like I'm home. And there's no other place on earth that I would want to be. So... it's a beautiful spot. I'm just amazed. You go other places, but nothing has ever captured my heart like Foundry County.
There you go. And Chris?
Well, we spent a number of years away from Bonner's Ferry. Typical story. Bonner's Ferry kids that can't wait to get out of town. They run off. And then, you know, life phases. They have a bunch of kids and... you know, Bonner's Ferry wasn't that bad, and they make their way back to Bonner's Ferry because it's a great place to raise a family.
Yeah. Now, we're going to focus on the trip to Israel here in the next few days you're going to go. But you mentioned a minute ago before we turned on the microphones, you guys just can't say no to opportunities to adventure. And I know one of them was you went and spent a mission trip in South Africa. And how long were you in South Africa?
Well, it was about a month, so it wasn't like a long missionary trip, but it was a long ways to go. I mean, man, the flight itself was...
A long
flight.
Yeah.
That's the one I'd never been in an airplane.
Oh.
Nothing like getting, you know, airlifted into a totally foreign culture and... people and language, and it was just quite an experience.
And would this be back like in the 70s?
No, it was back to not mid-90s.
Oh, okay.
It was
hours.
Yeah.
South Africa was still under apartheid.
Apartheid.
Our country did not recognize us as going over there because they may not recognize us. Diplomatically, I guess, is how that works.
So as we come out of the airport, we came to our first checkpoint, and of course, a missionary jumped off. And I'm just sitting there in the seat. It's the wrong seat, of course, because the driver drives from the right side. And
it's English.
Yes, yeah, it was because of the English influence. And here's a guy lying in the grass with a machine gun focused on us. So that was kind of a newer experience. I
mean, wow.
But that's just the way it is.
Now, did you pull your machine gun out and answer?
No.
Bring that on the plane.
That was the only reason, though.
Yeah.
So you've got a new adventure looking forward to. And this is the time because just today, or actually last night, as we record this, they announced a peace agreement between Hamas and Israel. I still have my concerns, but I'm hopeful that this is actually going to happen. And supposedly on Monday, the prisoners that Hamas has been holding will be released. And there's going to be an exchange of prisoners between Israel and Hamas. And President Trump is planning on being in Egypt next week to help sign the paperwork. And you're going to be there. Is that cool or what?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. And the whole adventure is pretty supernatural, actually. So we were not thinking of an Israel trip 6 months ago, but due to circumstances and had all lined, we said, yep, we're going, and then set our course to fly out.
And you've never been to Israel before?
No.
So why now?
Well, it's always been on our bucket list.
Yeah, but it's kind of increased the last couple of years. It's been more of a desire. And then when we found out that Danny Carroll's church from California, that they used to go regularly on Israel trips, we said something to him. And he goes, oh, we really don't do that much anymore. And then lo and behold, they had one come up. And that's how we ended up.
Now, Dan's an interesting story in that he went to Bonners Ferry High School, right?
He knew him.
And you knew him before. And
He taught at the school.
He was a basketball coach.
For our.
And then he now substitutes on a semi-regular basis.
Oh, really? That's cool.
No. I mean at our church.
Yes.
He occasionally steps there and gives a guest message. And so on. I guess he's not necessarily a substitute. But so the opportunity presented itself. He just decided, I'm going to go one more time or whatever.
Yeah. So all during the COVID years, there were no trips scheduled. And somehow this one hit the radar and was scheduled for October. And when we first heard about it, I made a call immediately to see if there was openings for people to go. And was told that it was already filled up. So that would have been in June.
Yeah. June, I think.
Yeah. And so I was scheduled for a hip replacement. And I have known I needed it for over a year. And we had chose to set a date. And that would have been September 15th. And to go on the trip in October, we had to move the surgery up. And so when I found out that the trip was full, I said, no, we aren't going to move the surgery up. We'll just let me enjoy my summer, and then we will have the surgery.
And Larry said?
Enjoying his summer, and
pain.
By the time the 1st of July hit, he was feeling tired of dealing with all of his pain.
Yeah.
That's what doctors say. You know, you don't have to do it immediately, but you'll want to do it when you can't stand the pain.
And as soon as you do it, you'll wish you'd done it earlier.
And that's what they're saying. It's still not.
But it's
been good. Anyway, so to finish the whole start of this is, I said, I'm done. We're going to get this done. Set the surgery for July the 30th. Made the decision.
20th. Not to correct you, but
it was the 30th.
It was the 25th. How's that? We're going to compromise.
This is awesome. Oh, enjoy me. I'm glad you came.
I'd be going through the same thing if Joy was in New Orleans.
Or we're out in Beethoven. I'm not taking any more follower process. In Fahagen.
You're going to be like the woman running for California governor.
Yeah.
I don't want any of these no more.
That's another story. The next day, the gal that schedules the trip called us, said, hey, we've had people drop out. We have openings. I said, sign us up. And the next day, we had a windfall from some oil investments. Totally unexpected.
Ooh,
came in that totally covered the cost of the trip.
Wow.
And so it set the whole thing in motion. And so we do. We feel like
so
supernatural
opportunity. Yes. God put things in place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, for full disclosure, Chris is my Tuesday morning men's Bible study leader.
Yeah.
Well, kind of a leader. He sits at the head of the table and then tries to, like herding cat, keep us on task, okay?
It's a free-for-all.
It's a free-for-all. Yeah. Larry is our one of our singers in the church. What do you call it?
Worship leader.
Worship leader, that's it. And she plays guitar and is up there helping everybody celebrate and observe Jesus as our Lord. And she often brings in little messages between songs to help add context and so on. So that's always good.
Well, Larry's part to this whole trip is also an interesting story. So after I had my surgery on July 30th, the following Sunday.
In July.
I did not go to church and Larry was leading worship. Danny Carroll was preaching. Mm-hmm. After the church service, Danny approached Larry and said, you know what? You ought to consider being our worship leader for the Israel trip.
Wow. And what does that entail?
Well, I said yes, but then when I found out what it did entail, I had second thoughts, but it's been awesome, and I've had to learn some new skills and learn how to digitize things and get things all set to go so I could be ready at the drop of the hat for whatever they need. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
And to be able to worship where our Savior stood, like on the Mount of Olives, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, to be able to bring my guitar, it's like an answer to prayer, long time answer.
Well, I guess so. So you got to actually lead the group in song. And how many's in the group?
38 to 40.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. So it's a lot of responsibility.
I don't know these people either.
None of them. You're the only people from Bonner Ferry going. Wow. Okay. So you're going to make some new friends.
Oh, wait. No.
Brandon is going too.
Brandon, the pastor in the Limitless Church, will also be on the trip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be able to get a good, neutral report on how you two got along on this long trip.
Yes, that's true. Or most people that know us know we interact. Quite a bit.
But hopefully you won't come back on separate airplanes. No.
I don't think so.
We don't want that. So you brought some other notes about the trip and so on.
As it gets closer, we've had a long time to think about this, you know, a couple of 3 months, and you just begin to do some more investigation. I don't know that a lot of people know a lot about Israel. It's always in the news. There seems to always be a conflict or another going on. But its whole inception, fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and 1948 becoming a nation, there's so much history there that is very, very spiritual.
I think the first time I heard of Israel was the 1966 war. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Six-Day War or something like that. And I was just a little, you know, about 12 years old, I think. And the war began, and for whatever reason, I didn't really go to church much as a kid. But I was immediately drawn to the idea of the underdog, it seemed to me. And so I was kind of a nerd, and then I followed the news at that age. and I'd listen to the Huntley Brinkley Report.
Oh,
yeah, way back.
Walford.
No. Mm-hmm. My parents always had the Huntley Brinkley Report. So I developed the skills. And of course, I was enamored by the Israeli Air Force in that war. And of course, Vietnam was going on too. But they were just such an underdog. And so I developed the skills as a bicycle rider of attacking and dive bombing tin cans in the curb in the gutter. And that became, there's the target. And I go, man, I smashed the, you know. And once in a while, I'd hit a can wrong and it would flip up and get stuck between the wheel and the fender of my tire and my bike. And I might have to limp home kind of with it. But so there was danger to it. And then I was riding, I remember this distinctly. I was riding my bike to the swimming pool and I hit a patch of fresh oil and I crashed. I didn't burn, except I did burn my legs. I mean, it just shook. So I really started to decide, no, I don't want to be a fighter pilot.
Yeah. And that wasn't even that far of a fall.
No. But I slid for quite a while on that asphalt. That was not fun. So your big trip is coming up in a few days, and you got an itinerary?
We do.
I don't have it with me.
Oh, okay.
We move every day. Lynn's got it right here, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
What would you do without her?
Oh, I'll tell you, she keeps me on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
Vincey, don't agree with what I tell you.
Speak up. We want to hear every word.
I mean, I said that quieter.
Okay. So, what do you want to share? Continue on. I kind of interrupted.
Larry wants to share
the itinerary. There you go.
No, it's going to be a full-time lot of travel, a lot of walking. We get to go to some pretty special places and to be able to do, like I said, the worship in these places. Danny went through it with us, what might be expected at the different places, and I never thought of being able to do worship there, but I guess we're our own little group, and we can do our own little thing unless they come and tell us otherwise, so... That'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of things that are just going to be fly by the seat of your pants and ministries, which is we've kind of been known for in the past as well. And
I'm sure you'll blend in just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any concerns about security?
No.
No, think about it.
Not even once.
No.
Well, I haven't.
We just thought, hey, if it's the time to check out, what better place to check out where Jesus comes back to?
Oh, yeah.
Well, might as well. If stuff's going to happen, then. And with the way things have changed, just like you said earlier, Ted, with the political atmosphere and maybe the end of the Hamas conflict, I'm feeling a little less stressed about any kind of concerns that way, but. At the same time, that's going to make a lot more people or more things going on in Israel. So I'm hoping that doesn't affect.
It's going to be more of a joyous party mood. I already see the celebrations taking place.
Mm-hmm.
I just pray that it's not premature and that everything does mm-hmm. happen as it's supposed to. Yeah. So you're going to be right there. That's just really, really cool. Yeah.
I think it'll be a very, very, very spiritual time. I mean, fun.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country and the nation, we who believe in the Bible, there were over 100 plus fulfilled prophecies of the arrival of our Savior. And every single one of them was prophesied in the Old Testament. That's amazing that 8 of them would have been fulfilled. The number of that, the possibility is like 1 in 10 zeros. It's a trillion, billion, zillion chances of 8 prophecies being fulfilled by the same man. And yet every single one of them, from the virgin birth to riding a donkey into Jerusalem to suffering to rising again in 3 days, those were all prophesied. And it's amazing because when the early disciples, priests,
that Christ was the Messiah. All it had was the Old Testament, and all they could point back to was the prophecies, and all they could say was, look, you did this. This was him. He did all this stuff that they said was going to be a sign of the Messiah. Well, guess what, guys? There is that many prophecies concerning his second coming as well. And so if we got 100% batting average for fulfillment of prophecy that was first coming, I bet we're going to have 100%
fulfillment
of his second coming. And do you know where he's going to touch down at?
We're on the Mount Olive.
It's on the Mount of Olives.
So right there.
Yeah. So it's a pretty spiritual journey we're on. And and one of my neighbors, I was talking to him, and you know, people don't know what to say when you tell them you're going to Jerusalem. You know, if you said you were going to Mexico to party, they'd just go.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's important. But you go to Israel, and they just kind of look at you like, okay. Aren't you afraid to go, you know? But he said, when I told him where we were going, he says, oh, you're going to be pilgrims. And I'd never thought of it like that. But we are. We're going to be pilgrims. And by definition, being a pilgrim means you make a spiritual journey. And you go to a location that has spiritual significance. And you look for spiritual renewal. And that's what we're looking for. And all of the religions, well, except Christianity, actually. I mean, the Jewish religion, we're supposed to gather the men 3 times a year for the feast. The Muslims, where do they go? They go to Mecca, and you're supposed to go at least once in your lifetime. As Christians, it's not in our doctrinal statement that we are to return to the holy places, but that is what we're doing.
Patrick's trying. Hopefully we will have to turn to holy places. So
we're excited. It's going to be a lot of work. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on my wife to do the worship, but that's what she was born to do. I mean, she is so anointed to be a worshiper that it just flows out of her. And so I keep trying to calm her down. It's like, honey, relax. You know, God will take over and carry you along. And just looking work through the expectation to meet with God and experience maybe some renewal.
Well, you're so focused on the song, so you have on the music. You got a playlist of what you're going to sing when and where and so on.
Afternoons, Danny was gracious enough before he left to go back down to California to go through every step of the trip with us and told us where to expect to be doing worship and how many songs and things. So I have a whole set list of 12 different set lists with songs in them for each prescribed place that there's going to perhaps be worship. And then there's a couple times where we're doing some evening services because this is going to be a real teaching time as well. Danny will be presenting a lot of different messages and different points. And so it's a different trip than what I thought at first it was going to be. It's going to be a real spiritual journey. As I said, I do almost take that word to heart, pilgrim, more so than I did before because of it. It's really going to be centered on the places and the things that Christ did and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. With us being right there at the time, that's such a joyous time. It's taken on a whole different perspective, and I'm excited about that. And the things that were being big hassles, like, well, how am I going to do this? And how can I trust the airlines with my guitar? All these kind of things. And a lot of the logistics were a little hard to get through in the first place. But now it's just like been covered with this glorious kind of, this is a full time to go.
Yes. Be there. Yes. I think the Lord is giving you some peace. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Relax. Whatever happens is the way he wants it to happen. Right? So just take a deep breath and relax. That'd be good.
Yeah.
So you're going to take up a backup guitar just in case?
I've taken up backup almost everything else to the point of where Chris goes, you really think you need that too? A blue engine.
Well, and every piece of backup with the equipment means one less article or clothing.
Indeed.
So it's been pretty.
Well, I think it's gonna be a really neat opportunity. You're gonna take a lot of pictures. We're gonna have a slideshow later.
Well, we'll have to have some sort of presentation.
I wonder what they're Nanda Delhi doing something as a church and get a hold of too. So I mean, but we'll take pictures for sure.
You do something there at the outpost, maybe, or something. You know,
we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, we may be taking bets on whether or not both of you come back, or just one of you come back, or which one comes back, or
pieces of work.
So what's the biggest lesson, or what's maybe two or three big lessons we really can take from Israel and the experience of the Jewish people that we as Christians can really learn from? I may be digging too deep here, but just
a thought. Wow, man, you're really, Ted, you're getting right down and nitty gritty here.
Oh, you know, we often look at them and I mean, you can't read a chapter in the Bible without it's there.
Clear God's.
You know?
God's chosen for
God's chosen people.
Well, we live in an interesting dispensation. Now, that's a period of time. And like Larry was saying the other day, she said, you know, we need to be able to discern what dispensation we're in. Because the book has a timeline to it. And of course, no one knows when Jesus is coming back. That date hasn't been given. But there are things that can begin to align to point that it's coming in God's timing, and we will be here to see it. The nation of Israel is an amazing nation that the whole Old Testament of the Bible is talks about its history, talks about the covenant, talks about how they are God's chosen people, talks about how God made a covenant with Abraham and said, look, I'm going to give you this land, and this land from river to river, and it's going to be yours. And then the Bible goes systematically through the history of the nation of Israel. We see how the mercy and love of God has restored them over and over again, and yet they turn away, and then judgment comes, and they're dispersed over the entire world. And then in due season, he brings forth the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And, you know, Jesus, gosh, here's the truth.
He was Jewish.
He's Jewish. And he's one of God's chosen people who really is the Son of God, and he fulfills all the Old Testament prophecy. And so all of these things are in motion. All of these things are spoken of in the book. And we get to, you know, Israel's not very big. It's 290 miles from north to south. Now, there's places where its width is only 9 miles. Then it can broaden out to almost 30 miles. Well, 290 miles is like going from Bonner's Ferry to Grangeville, right? And so it's this little tiny country that is surrounded by four nations, right? There's Syria, there's Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt. Then you've got the West Bank that protrudes into what would have been Israel, and it's ruled by the Palestinian Authority. Then you got that little tiny piece of Gaza on the south end of it. And it's like this size of New Jersey, right? And yet that's the focus of the whole world.
That's pretty special. Yeah. Yeah. And now you're going into the eye of the hurricane, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not always so peaceful, though.
Yeah.
Well, getting there ain't peaceful, but once you're there.
How long are you going to be on the flight? How long is that going to last?
Well, we have, you know, you go from LAX to Toronto, and then, what's it? 45 minutes later on a plane that goes from Toronto to Tel Aviv. I think all of that together is like about 14 hours.
Well, see, I can't do a podcast without talking about sports. You're going to go to Toronto, and it's possible the Seattle Mariners are going to be playing Toronto next week.
Yesterday was a total waste of baseball for us. Between the Dodgers and the
fan too. I'm not a Dodger fan, so that's okay. Forgive me, Lord. I was way back in the 60s with Dad. Drysdale and Colfax and, the big money has kind of warped me as far as that goes.
The best team money can buy.
And you're proud of it.
Sure.
Okay. So, going to have any time for any sports in Israel? Soccer games or anything?
Yeah, we're going to be walking on water.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Walking water.
And the boat drifting.
Yeah.
Some things like that. So, I'm excited about that.
I think it looks like by the itinerary, we're going to be moving pretty cool. Last day will be a free day in Jerusalem to walk the city streets and go to the old section and to the Wailing Wall and some of those historic places.
Now, maybe I'm out off base here, Larry, but you don't have any time to do some shopping?
Oh, I'm sure I could probably keep some working out.
You're going to take an empty suitcase just take care of what you got to bring back?
No. I don't know that I... Well, it all depends on how much shopping I get.
Chris will price.
He's not a shopper. And
he's not. You know, he's just a buyer.
Likes to sit in the car. So.
Oh, well, no, I think he'll want to be involved in the festivities and folklore and customs and what's going on and,
It's going to be a whole different set of fleas that we have.
Oh, foods. Yeah. What kind of foods are you going to be looking at over there? You kind of check that out, yeah.
Someone said you'd have to do the falafel.
What's that?
Hopefully it's not awful falafel, but it's something deep fried balls of
don't even know.
Keep going. Don't stop.
The Rocky Mountain.
Well, there goes the pod.
I can always edit that out. No longer G rated. Yeah.
I think they're like Hummus. And get those two
close.
Confused. No. Mm-hmm. And with spices and onions and different things, and then they're deep fried and eat like a snack. And maybe I'm totally wrong. I have no idea because I have really not looked at the cuisine.
Google all of that.
That's what I need to do.
Find that out.
And all it says is, our evening meal will be a buffet with something for everyone. So that's what we're expecting.
If Chris comes back 50 pounds lighter, we're going to know the food was not to his liking. Is that right?
Pretty much.
It's the contrary. Well, no, he did like it. So.
So have you just always wanted to go all these years? Did you really even think about it? It was on your bucket list, which,
I don't even think it was something we even thought about. And just the last few years, there's been a growing kind of desire.
Well, I think that's true as we get older. We start to, all of us, at least I do, it's like, I got to stop putting things off because I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. I'll say, well, I'll do that, someday. Yeah. Someday may not be there. God doesn't promise someday to anybody.
No.
So opportunities resent themselves, and you say, yes. Now.
That's exactly the way we roll. And when we hear 10, people always think that walking with God is some sort of giant mystery that we never really know the plans and the future, but it's not true. If we draw ourselves closer to Him, He is faithful to reveal His purposes for us, and then you see one and you go, wow, well, that's crazy, and then a couple more align and you go, well, we're in, we're gonna keep walking in faith and
and see where it leads us. And that's all we're doing.
So yeah.
We're excited about it. And then there's lots to be fearful about. I mean, you know, first there's the cost, and there was the always conflict in that part of the world. Then there was a group of people we've never met. And then there was, it's sure a lot easier just to stay home these days. And so you got a lot to overcome, but,
We haven't done long trips like this for 20, 25 years, so it's been a long time since we've done anything internationally. But one of the last times we did, we were going on a flight from England over to Belgium, just a short little one, and that's the day that the Onset Coal got blown up. We were ready to get on a plane, and they made us all wait.
Hold the ship.
And that's been in the news here just lately, the explosion in the coal and how that could have been prevented. And that was at a time when we were out the country going over to the European continent.
Oh, my goodness. Pinned it on the plane. Security was so high. It was crazy. Yeah.
So I got to ask you, you seem to do things when things happen. So what happened on 9/11 that changed your life?
We will not share that story.
No?
Where were you?
Where were you?
It's memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did Chris, going back a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Were you in Vietnam at all?
No, I was in college.
Okay.
Sure, that after being a World War II veteran, he didn't want Chris going into the war, so.
I did. No military service.
Okay. So I don't need to say thank you for your service. No.
No. But I served, family commissioner for 8 years, and city council for 6 years, and served the church for almost 20 years. So, it wasn't without public service, but it was not in military service.
Did you ever get an opportunity that you almost moved away from Bonner's Ferry? Professionally or whatever, something come up and go,
not when we never wanted to. So,
yeah.
I did find out that I probably can't work for anybody because most of my jobs were self-employed.
You know, that is true. When you work for yourself, it's hard to work for somebody else then.
Well, it seems like it. Our last full-time position for Larry was with the Kootenai Tribe of Idaho.
Oh.
She was a tutor for their students and advocate, I would say.
Advocate and just was in the public schools. That's where I first, I think, met you, Ted, was when you were substitute teaching and I was in the classroom with some of my students. And
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember a couple times when I was in the classroom.
You were like a teacher's aide?
And in a middle school.
Oh.
Well, I wasn't really a teacher's aide. I was an advocate for the tribal kids, and I was in the classrooms with them twice a week. I had a rotating schedule and went around the county to wherever our tribal kids were at.
Okay.
And then I worked with them and worked with the teachers and made sure they were in the programs they needed to be in, and that things worked well for them. And I tried to be a help with the teachers as well, too, and just really enjoyed that for 16 years?
16 years
we did that. Yeah. That was after
we
left being pastors when our son passed away in 2004. And that was not January before that we had started this job with the tribe. So.
Okay. Did you both kind of do that together?
Initially I interviewed for it and got the position. And then Larry said, well, hey, I can do that too. And so we split the position. And Larry took the middle school, elementary. I took the high school students. And then I just phased out and Larry took them all.
Oh, you still were there for the high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
I was a kindergarten teacher for 4 or 5 years and I Princeton school as well. So my part was for the elementary kids.
So you had a teaching certificate.
So no, I never was able to complete that because someone had to complete theirs first and someone had to go to work in Moscow to pay for
Oh.
But
oh.
No, so that I was still able to had enough.
Yeah. Well, any final words of thoughts, or, you know, how has faith guided you to where you are today? There you go.
Well, like you said, we just have never said no, and we believed God, and we believe God, and we believe God, even with the loss of our oldest son in the middle of a time when we were thought we were rolling high with the church and had bought the Bargain Giant building and turned it into the Wellspring Community Center, Grace Church. Which is now Mountain Springs.
Oh.
That was our building.
Wow.
So, but it's almost moved to a, you know, we walk like faith, right, by sight. Our testimony as God has been faithful, and so I don't say that we don't exercise faith, but we have greater confidence in who we know our God is. And so we just believe God. And when we read something in His Word, we believe it's true. And when He speaks something to us, we try to be obedient. It's a pretty simplistic faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even if we don't start out with the confidence, if He said it, we know that He will supply everything we need to do it and to make it happen. So we just kind of take a deep breath and step back and say, okay, we're ready to move forward because you say we could do it.
That's it.
He hasn't ever failed us yet, and I don't think He's gonna.
Okay. Well, if I may, to close this, I'd like to say a prayer. A prayer of, Lord, I want to lift Larry and Chris up to You and keep them safe. Give them an experience, an enriching experience that will deepen their faith and have them have so many testimonies and stories to share with us when they come back. And I just we will all be with You in spirit, Larry and Chris. I just know God will provide. Whatever His plan is, that's what we will surrender to. In Your name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. I always like to take a few minutes after a podcast, after my guests have left the studio, to do some reflecting, provide some thoughts that I've experienced and have time to dwell upon. So as their journey begins, it reminds us that faith and timing often meet in ways we don't expect. So before we close, let's take a moment to reflect on what pilgrimage and providence really means for all of us. You know, when I think about this couple's journey, I can't help but be reminded that God's timing is never random. It's not coincidence, it's providence. Abraham once heard God say, "Go from your country to the land I will show you." That was in Genesis 12:1. That same call echoes today. Like Abraham, this couple, Larry and Chris, steps forward in faith, trusting that each step through Israel is guided by a divine hand. Psalm 84:5 tells us, "Blessed are those whose strength is in You, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." That's what this trip really is. It's not a vacation, but a transformational pilgrimage. Every sunrise over Galilee, every prayer whispered at Jerusalem's walls, reminds us that God's story is still unfolding, and sometimes He lets us walk right through it. Even now, as peace hopefully, slowly takes root in that ancient land, it's a reminder that God can turn conflict into covenant and delay into destiny. So whether your journey takes you across the world or just through another chapter of life, trust that God's timing is perfect. When your dreams meet His direction, that's where providence lives. May we all find that same holy ground beneath our feet.